The following audio is the weekly message podcast from Vaughn Forest Church, Montgomery, Alabama. To learn more about Vaughn Forest Church, visit us online at vaughnforest.com.
You know, I remember being in the same position that John David and Tucker are in today, and moving to a place where you don't know anybody. And when God tells you to do something and it makes absolutely no sense, but you know in your heart of your hearts that's what you're supposed to do. Man, don't forget to pray for this couple. God's sending them out from among us to be missionaries in a place that needs to hear the gospel, and I'm excited for what God's going to do. And when we live by faith, when we walk by faith and not by sight, we see God do some amazing, incredible things. In James, we've been talking about a bondservant, what a bondservant of Christ looks like, that the will of the bondservant has willfully and graciously been surrendered to the will of the master, and he has no will anymore. It's the will of the master. His passion, his life, is to glorify the master. His passion, his life, is to lead people to the master, is to tell people of the master. And so we've been going verse by verse through this book of James. And at times, I'm just telling you, it's painful when you go through James. It is like going to the dentist and getting a root canal with no Novocaine. It's difficult. Today, we're going to look at a passage that talks about wisdom. We're going to be in James chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 18. And I want to read God's word, and then we're going to go verse by verse through this passage and see what the living God, has to say to us. And it's my prayer today, as it is every week, that we don't just hear with our ears. I pray that we hear with our hearts. We hear with our spirit, that the Spirit of the living God would speak to us through his word, and it would radically transform our emotions. It would radically transform our passions, which would radically then transform the way we live. Let's see what God's word has to say. It says this in verse 13 of James 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing there will be. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wisdom. What is wisdom? If you were to ask somebody in the world what wisdom is, they might give you a total different answer than somebody that's grown up in the church. But wisdom is not defined by the amount of knowledge you have. Wisdom is not defined by the number of diplomas you may have hanging on your wall. Wisdom is not even defined by the amount of gray hair you have. We assume that all senior adults, all people, and some people ask me why I shave my head, because it's gray, you know, it's falling out. But just because you have lived long on this earth doesn't necessarily make you wise. Wisdom is, in the most basic, simple definition that I can come up with, wisdom is simply this: the ability to use knowledge correctly. It's the ability to use knowledge, and you have a worldly knowledge, and you have worldly information. There's people who are wise businessmen. And they can take the knowledge that they have about business. They can take the knowledge that they have about investment. They can take the knowledge that they might have about building or a lot of different things. And they can do something, and they can use this knowledge correctly, but they use it in such a way that it's productive and it's beneficial. And they give you knowledge, not just out of the head knowledge. They give you knowledge, and they speak, and that wisdom comes out of their life. And we can say that in a worldly sense, but we can say that in a biblical sense. The other day, I heard a young seminary grad, he's single, and he was giving counsel to a man that was having marital problems. And everything in me wanted to just go, hey, bro, you just need to shut up right now, okay? I know what you're saying is right, but you're speaking out of your head, man. And when we speak out of our head, it only ministers to the head. But when we speak out of our life, wisdom speaks out of its life, out of the core of who we are. Out of what we know that we know that we know is true, and we live it on a daily basis. In verse 13 of chapter 3, it says, who is wise among you? Who's some of the wisest people you know? One of the wisest men I know in a worldly sense is my grandfather, V.C. Handy. I talked a little bit about him last week. He was about this tall. He was a gold glove boxer. He was tough as woodpecker lips now. I mean, he was tough. Never said he was sorry. He worked his way up from a laborer in a construction company to the CEO of a multi-million-dollar construction company. Taught himself calculus. Was a thinker. And V.C. Handy taught me a lot. I worked with my grandfather on the farm every year. And he taught me how to solve problems. He taught me how to sharpen my knife. If I have my pocket knife in my pocket, he's like, boy, let me see your knife. And if my knife was not razor sharp, I got it. So if I had my pocket knife in my pocket, and if I didn't have my knife in my pocket, he's like, where's your knife, boy? Everybody's got to have a knife in their pocket. He taught me how to build furniture. And when we would build furniture, it was a piece of art. And when you're measuring and when you're cutting and when you're putting things together and assembling this piece of furniture, he'd always look at me and he'd say, son, it can't even be a blonde hair off. It's got to be perfect. And he had that mentality in everything that he did. One summer day, I was home. And I had to go work on the farm on Saturday with him. I was going to be running fence. Me and my brother were running barbed wire fence for him. We get there about 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, Granddad, I got a hot date tonight. Man, she is fine. Her name's Trudy. Man, I said, he's like, okay, we're running fence. So we go and we start running fence. Now, you just didn't hang fence. You just didn't run string barbed wire anyway with V.C. Handy. He gave you a gauge, and every strand of wire had to be exactly that distance apart. Exactly. Not a blonde hair off. I am not thinking about exactly. I'm thinking about Trudy overall. And we string a wire. We string, and we're going, and we're going. And we stop and we go eat lunch. My granddad's not there. I'm like, Grandma, where's Granddad? Oh, he's out checking your work. I'm like, psh, we got this. We got this. Do you know what happens to barbed wire when you take it off a fence and you lay it on the ground? My grandfather had gone, and all that work we had done all morning, he ripped every bit of it off the fence post. And it was in a pile. This messed up, just tangled mess of barbed wire. And I look at him, and he said, when I say not a blonde hair off, I mean, not a blonde hair off. Jeff, I suggest you call Trudy and tell her you're not going to make it tonight. I said, yes, sir, Granddad. And he gave me these words of wisdom. He said, son, you don't have time not to do it right the first time. Man, that happened. And it happened over 30 years ago. And it's still perfection, perfection, perfection. I didn't go to my grandfather much for godly wisdom. You know who I went to for godly wisdom? And I still do to this day? My mother and my father. They're two of the most godly people I know. And I know they give me godly wisdom. You know why? Because they're always pointing me back to the scriptures. What does God's word say? A couple of months ago, I was going through a real struggle in my life. My family was being attacked. There was bad things being said about my family. And I'll just be honest with you, I wanted to go start a prison ministry. Hey, man, you can start an effective prison ministry from the inside, you know? Glory. And I called my mom, I called my dad, and I'm talking to them about what's going on. And I'm talking to them about the injustice, and I'm talking to them about the lies, and I'm talking to them just about the hurt. And you know what they told me? Somebody's got to be Jesus in the midst of this situation. Somebody's got to give godly wisdom. And my parents throttled me back. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to hear them say, go start that prison ministry, boy. Go get it, you know? No, somebody has to be Jesus. Let's look at the difference, what the scripture says, the difference about worldly wisdom. And not all worldly wisdom is necessarily bad. But at the center of worldly wisdom, you have to look at this. At the center of this worldly knowledge that can be beneficial and productive is self. It's me. It's you. What's in it for me? Worldly wisdom gets worldly results. Worldly wisdom, it says this, it has bitter envy, self-seeking in our hearts. It's boastful. It lies against the truth. The wisdom, this kind of wisdom descends from above. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's demonic. This kind of wisdom, when you think about sensual, it's not talking about sexual. It's talking about wisdom that agrees with our senses, with our five senses. I'm telling you, I remember when Trudy and I were called to move our family to Calcutta, India. We started thinking with our senses, and it's like, this just doesn't make sense. And faith doesn't make sense. Faith is foolishness. Faith is stupid. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faith, all you got to do is pray to the altar, to the idol. Just bow down. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to compromise what we believe, what we know to be true. And our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, O King, we're still not bowing down. That kind of faith, that crazy faith. Worldly faith is earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. As the church of the living God, as we're praying for a pastor, as we're seeking God's will for a pastor, we cannot pull faith out of this decision. We can't, we must not, we cannot use worldly wisdom in deciding and figuring out who this man is. We have to use godly wisdom. You remember the Hebrew children? They used some godly wisdom when they wanted to pick their first king. who they pick. They pick somebody like me, the best looking, you know. They pick the best looking, the tallest, the strongest, the best communicator. He may have had a lot of hair product and skinny jeans. Hey, I talked about yoga pants the other day. Let me just say something about men in skinny jeans. Quit it. Don't do it, okay? Nobody wants to see that can of crescent rolls exploded either, okay? Where was I, Trudy? Talking about Jesus, right? Okay. They went after a man. They used their senses on which type of person that would make the best leader. And God had another person in mind. He was a red-headed, ruddy-complected shepherd boy dealing with stinking sheep. Can't use worldly wisdom when it's a godly decision that has to be made. We have to use godly wisdom and what the Word of God says. What does godly wisdom look like? Well, I'll tell you this. Godly wisdom gets godly results. You use God's wisdom, it's going to get God's results. When you need to make a godly decision, you need to get counsel from somebody that's going to give you godly wisdom. You got to have somebody in your life that you can get godly counsel from. That's going to point you back to the Scriptures, and they're not just going to talk out of their head. They're going to talk out of their life. They're going to point you back, and they're going to say, somebody's got to be Jesus in this situation. Somebody's got to be Jesus. You know what? This wisdom, this godly wisdom, it's meek. It's power under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. There's a life under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's pure. It is not worldly in any way. It is pure. It is from the Word of God that is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's peaceful. It brings peace. Man, a lot of times we think we're bringing peace when we ignore sin. We're just going to ignore it. We're just going to overlook that. The world has a term for that. It's called tolerance. That's not peace. Peace is, you know what, I love you so much, I want to share what truth says. I want to share it out of my mind, but I also want to share it out of my heart. My heart, God's way is the best way all the time, no matter what. Do it God's way. And there might be some hurt feelings, there might be a little conflict, but God in His sovereign way will bring peace when we stand on truth. Amen? It's gentle. God's wisdom is gentle. Abraham Lincoln was described this way. Velvet steel. Gentleness is not being a pushover. Gentleness is Christ-likeness. But it's with conviction. And it waits on the Lord. It's compliant. It doesn't compromise. Doesn't compromise the truth, but it's willing to listen to more than one side. Listen, if you're ever doing any kind of marital counseling, if you're ever doing any kind of counseling where somebody needs godly wisdom, there's conflict with two different parties, and you're like in the middle, you're the mediator. Let me just tell you, there's three stories, okay? There's one person's side, there's the other person's side, and then there's the truth. And wisdom says, you know what? I need to hear both people, what both people have to say. And then we're going to discuss what God's word has to say. I want to give you godly wisdom. I want to give you godly counsel. Knowing when to share truth is very, very important. We've got to have wisdom to know when the heart is ready to receive truth, because if the heart is not ready to receive truth, it just pushes people away. But that wise person that hears from the Lord, that knows the Word of God, knows when it's time to share truth, and know when it's time to be quiet, and when it's time just to pray and just love. It's compliant, it's merciful, it's fruitful, full of the fruit of the Spirit. It's decisive, it doesn't waver. Truth is truth no matter what. God's way is the best way all the time no matter what. I'm going to stand on truth. I'm not going to give you any other wise counsel. I'm not going to give you any counsel than what comes from here. And it's sincere. It's not hypocritical. Got all these things, and we look at wisdom. I'm going to ask you, is your life primarily about a worldly wisdom? Can you give your children more wisdom than just how to hit a ball or shoot a ball or shoot a gun or catch a fish or how to cook? What kind of godly wisdom are we giving our children? Don't listen to me. Please listen to me. Don't you believe the lie that it's the Sunday school teacher and the pastor's responsibility to give your children godly wisdom. Oh, no. You're teaching your children every day. You're teaching your children. I'm teaching my children. I'm teaching my grandchildren right now. I'm either teaching them a worldly wisdom or I'm teaching them godly wisdom. How do we get this wisdom? How do we get this wisdom that's godly, that's pure, that's peaceful, that's gentle, that's kind, that's decisive, that's sincere? How do I become wise in God's eyes? It starts with Proverbs 9, verse 10. And let me read this to you. You might want to write that down, because these are passages you need to chew on, need to meditate on. Proverbs 9, 10 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." You want to be wise. You want to have godly wisdom. It starts with the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is not a dreadful fear. The fear of the Lord is a holy, reverent respect and awe for God, for Jesus, for the Word of God. It is a holiness, and it's a reverence and a respect that when we read about in Scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, when somebody came into the presence of Almighty God, they weren't singing and shouting. You know what they were doing? They were on their face. They were scared to death because they had come into the presence of God Almighty. Isaiah said, I'm undone. And I just want to caution us as a church. Don't become casual with your relationship between your Father and you, me. He is holy. He is sovereign. He is spotless. He's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he is God. And he's not the big man upstairs. He's not Big Poppy, he's not grandfather, he's God. And I think the Church of America, we've lost our reverence and our respect for God. I had the privilege early on in ministry when I was just a young, real cocky, prideful minister. And I was at a Bible conference in Tampa, and I had the opportunity to eat supper with John MacArthur. Me, Dr. MacArthur, my pastor, and three other guys. So I called Trudy. I'm like, Trudy, I'm gonna get to eat supper with John MacArthur. I got his study Bible. I got his commentaries. You know, I've read all of his books, man. This is an awesome guy. So, and I met Dr. MacArthur. I sat down. We had dinner. And I called Trudy, and she's like, how'd it go? I'm like, it was awesome. She said, what'd you say? I said, absolutely nothing. I didn't want to speak. Because it was a person that I respected so much, and I respected their, not just their knowledge of Scripture, but by the way they lived Scripture out. I was a lot of respect for this man, but that man didn't die on the cross for my sins. When somebody has to tell you the presence of God is here, the presence of God is here, the presence of God is here, just be careful, because when God's presence is here, we'll all be on our face. It'll be so real. It'll be so thick that we'll be like, man, I see God for who he is, and I see me, myself, for who I am. And the only thing I can do is get on my face. Where there's fear of the Lord, you know what tends to happen? Obedience. Where there's no fear, where there's no respect, where there's no reverence, there is no obedience. It's cheap grace. You can do whatever, say whatever. No, Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the foundation of where we build this wisdom house. That's where it is. That's where it starts. Next point. You want to get wisdom? Life is a great teacher, isn't it? My son was about to start his senior year of college. And he had 10 days between the summer semester and the fall semester. And he came home, and he's like, Mom, Dad, I got 10 days. Me and my roommate, John, you know what we're going to do? We're going to drive to California and back in 10 days. And I was like, go get you some, buddy. And Trudy's like, she starts asking all these, well, what are you going to do about food? Ain't nobody going to do that. And I'm like, life's a great teacher. Life's a great teacher. And you know what? He made that drive. They made it back. They had a couple of scars along the way, you know, a couple of scares. But I tell you what. They got edumacated. You go through life, and the wiser I get, the dumber I get. Because the wiser I get in Scripture, I realize I don't have the answer and I can't fix anybody. Because I can't even fix me. But I can love you, and I can walk with you, and I can tell you what this book says. And I can show you my scars. And I can share with you victories. And I can show you and prove to you that God's way is the best way all the time, no matter what. Live life. Let people make mistakes. Let your children make mistakes. You know what? Your teenage kids, your college kids, wow, they're going to make mistakes. Let them make mistakes. God loves them more than you do. We can be so overprotective that we don't let them learn. Discipline. Discipline is a great way to get knowledge. Proverbs 29:15 says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. You have a child that doesn't have discipline, that doesn't have correction. They won't grow up to be wise. I remember I told my mom to shut up one time. I don't even think I got the P of up out of my mouth. And I don't know what had happened, but I found myself on my back looking up at the ceiling. She beat the dust off me. How many times do you think I told my mom to shut up after that? I don't even think I thought about it. Parents, listen to me. It's not your responsibility to be your children's friend right now. It's your responsibility to instill discipline and wisdom and give them boundaries and guidelines and say, God's word says this way. God's word is the standard. And when we go out there, yeah, we can have grace and we can have mercy, but there's got to be some discipline. Kelsey, I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you do remember this. But Kelsey was one of those who would rather have a spanking than anything else because she's not, the pain's only going to last for a little while. And she was copping this attitude. I disciplined. I used creative discipline. I took her bedroom door off the hinges and hit it in my workshop. Dad, where's my door? Not my problem. Dad, how am I going to get dressed? Not my problem. Dad, what about my privacy? Not my problem. You know what my problem is? You're going to respect your mom. You're going to honor your mom. I'm going to do what the Bible says. Dad, can I have a spanking? No, ma'am, I think I found what works. Hey, and you know what? That's free of charge. I'm not even, all you parents got teenagers, no charge on that one, okay? But I'm telling you, that door works. It's a good thing. And then the last thing is this, ask God. James 1:5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. Ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We got to be quick to ask God for wisdom. Have the fear of the Lord. Learn by the mistakes we've made. Check out the Word of God. What does God's Word say? We got to ask God. How many of you are wise in here? Wise in the world ways versus wise in God's way. Our families, our children, our grandchildren, our schools, our communities need to have people filled with the Spirit of God and filled with godly wisdom. It's what a bondservant looks like. Always pointing people to Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, as we come together to sing this closing song, Lord, I just pray for somebody in here that's struggling. They've been trying to figure out your way using worldly wisdom and worldly logic, Father. Spirit of the living God, I pray you speak to them. Pray they take the step of faith you've called them to take. Some of them are wanting to quit. Lord, I pray that be people of faith. Use godly wisdom. Do exactly what you've told them to do. Lord, I don't know what the scenario is, but you do. Holy Spirit, I just pray you speak to us. And you shape us and continue to shape us and mold us into the men and women of God you've called us to be. Holy Spirit, would you affect our speech? Would you affect the way we live? And would you affect the counsel that we give people through our life experiences, through our victories, through our failures, what the Word of God has to say? Lord, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.